So it sounds, Colin, like you have quite a few different ways to make a woman feel comfortable and safe about coming to see you. Mm-hmm. You get them to fill out a form before they come. You give them the option of having a free 15-minute phone call. You've got the psychosensual option. All those ways. Is there anything else, any other ways that you help them feel safe?
Well, obviously the venue where they come to is important. So I've always made it a point of making sure that it's smart, clean, tidy, professional. I mean, you know, fortunately, coming from a hospitality background, that's important to me too.
Of course.
I think first impressions are crucial. So I've always preferred to work from home. That's my personal choice anyway. But I also find that actually I have used other venues, and I do actually use a clinic in central London at the moment, but I find there it's a bit daunting when you know that there are other people in the building for the clients, because they see people, whatever. And clearly some people are coming in, it needs to be kept discreet, it needs to be kept private. Their circumstances are that they don't want other people to know what they're doing, or they're a bit embarrassed, or whatever the reason is, it needs to be, you know, a safe place. So coming to my premises, I'm fortunate now that, you know, I live on the 24th floor of a stunning apartment block.
Yes,
on the river's edge.
We're conducting the interview from said apartment. It is very beautiful, with a stunning view.
Stunning views, yes. 25 miles of view of London. So they get added benefit of seeing that. But it does mean that it is secluded, it's private, but it's also professional. So, you know, it's a proper, you know, secure building, and it's smart and clean, and it's a shower en suite. So everything is done in a way that makes the whole experience pleasant. It's not just about the treatment.
And I notice it also feels very luxurious as well.
Yes, so yes.
Is that something you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's crucial. It's what I would expect if I was going along, and you know, I'm not cheap in what I charge, and I believe in giving value for money, not just in my skills, both my counselling skills and my bodywork skills, my massage skills, but also just going away going, you know what, I really enjoyed actually that, and it's been of great benefit. So whether they're coming for the psychosensual or whether they're just coming for essential massage per se, I'm often asked, well, does that mean that you have to come to you with a problem? Absolutely not. You know, I give treatments to women who are just quite frequently. I'll get maybe a female client who phone up, contact me and say, I'm single, I'm working, you know, I'm here on business for 3 days. It's an ideal opportunity to come along. I am sexually frustrated at the moment. I'm not in a relationship, but my body is screaming out to be touched and aroused. I can't concentrate. I'm doing a presentation tomorrow to 60 people. I need to be in a different state of mind to the one I'm in. Can I come along? And yeah, that's, I think, totally justifiable. It's about her welfare. And, you know, what's the alternative? Okay, she could go to the gym. She could knock back a bottle of vodka. You know, there's other ways of doing it.
She could masturbate.
Doesn't always, you know, hit the spot, as it were. And this is just a way of really, and it is interesting for the reaction I often get, the feedback, the testimonials. Sometimes it's just a text message afterwards. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 days later, I'll get a text message saying, my feet still haven't touched the ground. I can't believe the different state my body's in, because I haven't had this for 2 years, and now I realise what I'm missing. So I now realise that actually this isn't just about pleasure. This is about me feeling whole. And, you know, my self-worth and my physical health.
So women and men, they don't necessarily always come to see you because of some therapeutic thing.
No, not at all.
It can just be that they're looking for something that's going to increase their well-being.
Or it could be just a lack of intimacy. You know, that we all know that in relationships, when the sex stops, then the intimacy often stops. And it's a difficult one. And sometimes it's just about being touched. It's not necessarily the sexual arousal. Obviously, you know, sensual touch leads to sexual arousal often, but actually people will experience as much pleasure from just being nurtured, held, hugged. I quite frequently get people bursting into tears on me because, you know, let's say in the case of a woman, you know, she's in charge of the kids, she's busy at work, she's got a day job as well as looking after the kids. The husband's a bit demanding. She's running around like a blue arse fly and has been for years. She probably had demanding parents as well. And she falls into that caring role immediately. And the last thing she ever gets to experience is a bit of self-care from other people. And I'm able to sort of say, right, today it's all about you. And that can bring up an awful lot of emotional stuff. Men, likewise, You know, men who are, again, maybe they've always been in charge. You know, the little boy in every man gets squashed by the time he's usually 10 or 11. And I've had, you know, company directors of multinational companies in tears simply because I'm nurturing them and I'm holding them and I'm allowing them to connect with that part of them that they can't express to their colleagues, their friends, their wives, their children.
I can totally understand that. And I think it's, I mean, if you think about how many people are single and, you know, maybe spending weeks, months or years not having a cuddle or a hug, mm-hmm. let alone sexual intimacy. Yeah. And then you think of all the people who are in relationships but are not having sex, yeah. or not having good sex.
And let's understand the basis of this, because again, you know, to justify this, we have to understand who we are as human beings, as a species. We are intrinsically an insecure species. We're a herding species. In order to survive as a herding species, we have to be insecure. It may sound bizarre, but that is what keeps us together. If we were all feeling totally secure in ourselves, we would have been killed off as a species years ago, because we have no claws, we have no teeth, we're not very good at defending ourselves, so we'd have been eaten by every predator under the sun. But when we're all grouped together in a herd, most of us will survive. And there will always be one of us that's shoved out there, a bit like the cows in the field who always put the scapegoat out. We are terrified of being rejected from the community, because if we're rejected, we are potentially going to get eaten. And that's why we huddle together. And so when we now live in a society where there isn't that physical intimacy, and, you know, how does one know when one is accepted by the group? You interact physically. We only learned to speak 200,000 years ago. Seems a long time, but we've been kicking around for a good 1.5 to 2 million years. So there's a long time where our communication was through touch. And so when we touch one another, we feel connected. We feel we can be safe. And the more intimate and the more sensual the touch, the more vulnerable area of the body that is touched, the safer the bond is, the more trusting the bond is.